Joining me in the studio now, Chris Johnson. He's the athletic director with Sayous Law Schools. Chris, how are you doing?
I want to say living the dream, but I kind of feel like we're all living a little bit of a nightmare here.
A nightmare.
We're all in the same boat.
I tell you, that's the truth. Now, talked to Andy Griskowiak earlier on the show, and we talked about school. We didn't get into athletics because I knew you were coming in. So I wanted to first hear from you. Obviously, he says we're not likely to be in school until late October, early November, if then. What's that going to do? I mean, I know OSA had a meet, yes, on Monday, but, I mean, do we know anything yet?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the coast weather. You know, they say if you don't like the weather, wait a little while, it'll change. That's sort of what's been happening with athletics. We spent a summer, every fall sport had a contingency committee that the OSAA put together with stakeholders, coaches, and athletic directors, trying to figure out a plan, how to go forward for the fall. And put quite a bit of time on Zoom meetings, everybody's new favorite buzzword for 2020. And kind of were planning for worst-case scenarios. And when the last press conference last week from the governor came out and sort of set up what the numbers were going to be, clearly it's obvious that unless something changes drastically in the next couple of weeks, we're not going to school for a while, at least not in a traditional sense. So if kids aren't in school every day, it's pretty difficult to have them come in after school for practice. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Mr. Griskowiak talked about it. I mean, we're trying to go forward with an abundance of caution. And having having the football team or the volleyball team or the cross-country team start to spread the virus wouldn't be good for anybody, not for those kids, not for their families, and not for our community. So at this point in time, the OSAA Executive Committee meets. I think they met Monday. I think they're meeting again tomorrow. So an announcement I would think would be forthcoming in the next day or two. There's the states around us have all sort of put their plans out for how they're going to tackle athletics. And it's kind of kicking the can down the road because obviously the fall is not going to be a good time for those things to happen, as I just mentioned. So it looks like we're going to divide up the rest of the calendar year if we're in school again from, you know, maybe January, maybe December through the end of the school year, through the end of the association year, whenever that might be, and then just try to break it up into three seasons that are fairly that are equal in terms of the duration of time.
So they had moved the potential opening football game, right?
So that's pretty. So they came out and said they were going to push back the starting date for every activity except for football, but they were going to push back the first contest date from like the end of August until the end of September. Well, that's sort of null and void now because no one's going to be in school. So, and moments out, well, I actually left. This is how naive I am. I was listening to the press conference with my wife, who's a principal in the Coquille School District, and is, you know, spent, like every administrator has spent so much time this summer trying to figure out a new plan on the fly, and then it changes, and hours and hours and hours, and it changes. And so we were both listening, and I sort of felt, hey, if people can just take care of their business, maybe we can open the doors. And people are realizing that these are the numbers, and we have to be careful, try not to spread the virus so that we can get the numbers back down to an acceptable level. So I kind of left, you know, naive. I'm an English teacher, not a science guy, thinking, hey, this is good. We just have to be careful. And then 5 minutes later, you get email or you get press releases from PPS, Portland Public Schools, who has the PIL, which is obviously one of the biggest leagues. And then Metro, which is the Beaverton area schools, right, just came out and said they weren't going to school until at least November 5th, and they weren't having any fall sports. And I mean, originally in all these committee meetings, the word was, hey, we're not going to pit sport against sport. We're not going to pit county against county. You know, it'd be like the analogy was if there's a bunch of smoke in Southern Oregon in the summertime and it's not smoky in Portland, the Portland schools aren't going to shut down athletics because the people in Southern Oregon can't do sports because of smoke. But when those two school districts come out and say that they can't safely open and they can't conduct sports, you're talking about 60 to 70% of the total population of students in Oregon playing sports. So, I mean, from the first instinct was, hey, it's not our fault. You live in Portland.
Right, yeah.
but a few minutes later, I just started thinking, that's not fair. I mean, those kids, they're losing opportunities too. And so anything that we can do to sort of be have each other's back and be a team in this and push the start dates later and maybe be able to conduct sports. Obviously, it'd be shorter seasons, fewer games. The playoffs could look a little bit different, but it just seems right that when you're talking about that percentage of the students in Oregon schools not being able to play, that we should all do something together to try to save whatever we can of whatever seasons we might have left.
I know this might be short-sighted, but I kind of look at, you know, we missed baseball last season. You had some seniors you didn't get to play. The ideal of professional sports down the road is that, you know, college students come up that were in high school, that maybe were in Little League, you know, and got all this training that made them better and that made them succeed in college. What does missing a season mean for kids at the high school level, seniors especially?
Well, I mean, for the seniors, it's, I mean, not many of our seniors are going to go on to play sports at the college level. There's certainly some, and a lot of those kids, at least in track and field, the kids that I have, they were doing what they could do to train, to sort of stay fit and to continue this, you know, this long-term development. I think for the seniors, it wasn't so much losing development. I think it was just a matter of losing a culminating activity, you know, something you spent your whole life. I mean, senior year, people talk about that, you know, getting ready for your senior year, your whole life. And it's usually special. It's usually the people's, that's usually their best season. And so to lose that is just, you know, it's emotionally just, it's devastating. And I think I mentioned before when we talked that I know maybe for the layperson, someone missing a sports season doesn't amount to a hill of beans when you're facing a global pandemic. And I totally understand that. But on a micro level, the students who and my son was one of them, students who lost a senior year, it was really difficult to swallow, you know. And they knew, I think, I didn't talk to anybody who didn't understand what was happening and why we weren't making the decisions we were for safety purposes, but it's pretty tough. Now, for underclassmen, for kids that I have on the track, and I know it's the same in baseball and softball, that lost just practices, just going to practice every single day, having a chance to compete in their sport. That is a big deal in terms of that losing that time to develop. So, again, I think most of the kids on my team that are into it and can see the big picture, they were doing the best they could to train on their own. We could give them a plan, and a lot of kids were doing the best they could to. And it wasn't just track. I mean, I know it was happening in football and basketball. They're doing what they can to sort of mitigate the loss of time. But I don't think there's any substitute for being with a coach, with your teammates, you know, competing every day, practicing and getting better. So there's no question it's going to have an impact.
So moving forward, like you said, you may be able to split it up into three equal parts the next season and that. But if you look back into March when they shut everything down, March, April, May through the end of the school year, things didn't seem as bad as they are May, June, July. Almost like maybe we could have got away with it had we just kept marching on. Does anybody look back and say, you know, maybe we stopped too quick?
Well, I'm not the CDC, and I'm not, you know, the World Health Organization.
I'm talking like you said earlier, like on a macro level.
Well, as individuals. I think that obviously, you know, when you look at the numbers that the governor and not just the governor, the head epidemiologist
Oregon Health Authority,
Oregon, yeah, they these people know what they're doing, and they spent their lives studying these things, and the numbers look pretty daunting now in terms of trying to get back to an acceptable level. But we were at that acceptable level in May and June. The numbers dropped. I mean, the numbers dropped because we closed down everything and people didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And so that's kind of what. So I know that I'm sure if I was a 5A or 6A basketball player and I was in the semifinals and I had two games to play, I'd be pretty frustrated. I didn't get to finish those contests. Just like same thing with true for track and field. But if you think about the number of people who get together in these sporting events, I mean, the state track meet has 15,000 people. You know, they fill those auditoriums or the gymnasiums or the stadiums for those basketball games. So, you know, we were sort of on the precipice of something bigger and cases were starting to rise. And so I know if I were in charge, and I'm not, it would be really difficult for me to want to risk putting that many people together in confined spaces and then, you know, see what could happen. I mean, and again, I don't know, but I know that numbers, when we had Mother's Day weekend followed by Memorial Day weekend and things opened up again, and then, you know, numbers started to increase. And so, you know, I know people have different feelings about how they look at the spread and the numbers, and but the thing that kept coming up over and over again with the governor and with, you know, the head of Colt McGill, who's the head of K-12 education, and I can't remember the lady's name, who's in charge of pre-K education and epidemiologist. They're just saying, hey, if we could just, you know, mask up, stay home as best you can, try not to get together in big groups. All the things they've been saying for a long time, I think we can get those numbers to drop. And that's the message the OSAA has too. They're just basically saying, hey, we want to open up schools. We want kids to be able to play sports. But we have to have people kind of cooperating along that same line. And if, even if it's erring on the side of caution, I mean, like, I've been here for 25 years in this town. I'm outside every day on trailheads, and usually I go there and I park and there's maybe one car there. I've never seen it more crowded than it is. I mean, we're tired of being cooped up,
right,
and they wanted to head to outdoor spaces, which I totally understand. But we have a lot of people who've come to our little town, and you know that with more people and a pandemic, the more chances you have to contract it. And so that worries me a little bit. And you know, we're going to be tied to Lane County. It's a county by county situation right now. One county, Wheeler County, is the only county that could open up schools in earnest. So, you know, I just think we have to. If people want to have sports and high school sports, college sports,
they're going to
have to
stay home.
Mask up and stay home for a while. I know that's not easy, and obviously shutting down the economy is not easy. And I can't imagine what some people had to go through with that happening. But and again, it's sports, right? I mean, it's not the end all be all. It's not health and safety. But I think it is important to our society. I know that a lot of people are excited to have baseball on again, and the NBA's playing and hockey's playing, and so. You know, they've taken steps to figure it out.
Though, even baseball.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen what the costs are. I mean, obviously, people had the option to opt out, and that's the same thing I'm sure is going to happen if schools go back to a hybrid model where kids can come back to school. There might be some people. I know there's some people who would say, "Hey, we're going to take the safe route right now and keep our family and our kids safe."
What are you telling the coaches right now? Are you having any discussions with Sam Johnson and folks like that?
Well, it's pretty much the same message we've had all along. Is we were working toward getting back opened up again for optional summer workouts, and we got to that point. We had safety issues. We were screening for fevers. You know, felt like I was tasing kids. You know, walking up with a thermometer on their or a temporal scanner on their forehead to check their temperature. You know, there's a screening form asking if they were symptomatic. If they were symptomatic, they had to go home. They had to have a waiver. All these things, and we were football was working out. They were in the weight room in their pods. They were practicing in their pods. My cross country team had a lot of people coming out every day. Basketball was just getting started, so we were on that path. And then we have some cases in town that hit pretty close to home, with kids who high school kids or high school age or around high school kids. So it doesn't take long for those tracings to happen. And again, I commend Mr. Griskowiak. I mean, those aren't easy decisions to have to make, but I think again he has to. Consider the health and safety of this entire community, and we didn't want a spread coming from one of our sports teams. I know that the kids aren't super susceptible probably to this, at least what I've heard. Now, high school kids are a little different than the younger kids, but we have a lot of kids who live with grandparents, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So to me, the good news with kicking the can down the road is, maybe things do open up, the numbers drop a little bit, and we can conduct some seasons that are a little shorter. And
do you
hope for the best?
Do you see a return to normal at some point, or is it just sort of now everything's so chaotic?
I don't know what normal is anymore. I mean, I don't know a single teacher who, if they could guarantee that they would be safe and their families would be safe, they would much rather be in the classroom. I mean, I think we did a great job. I don't know what every teacher did, but I know that it was a lot of work for all of a sudden. I mean, I've 25 years of teaching, and all of a sudden I'm a first year teacher in terms of how to teach distance learning. Mm-hmm. And I'll give the students in my classes credit. They were unbelievable. I mean, they were there every day and they were attentive, and we really tried to kind of go business as usual for the most we could. So, I mean, think about putting that together on the fly. I mean, we had a 2-week period where we had to recreate everything, and things were changing all the time in terms of expectations and seat time and attendance. So I think that right now, if comprehensive distance learning is on the plate for the first part of the year, I feel pretty confident that the lessons that we all learned in the fall or the spring and some of the new technology for old dogs like me. I mean, I'm conducting a class on Google Meets now instead of with kids in the seats of my classroom. I feel like I learned a lot too. And as much as I'd much rather have those kids face to face, And hopefully that'll happen sometime soon if the numbers go down. I feel pretty confident that we can give the kids a quality education with the distance learning situation. And I know that that's kind of how things have gone in colleges recently. There's been a lot more online classes, a lot more distance learning. So kids were doing some of that anyway. And I sort of feel like some of our kids who are going to go on to college, and a lot of kids obviously are going to go on to college, are going to get a leg up on that system because they've been through it before. You know, so,
yeah. And
so
a lot of kids are actually doing – I mean, you know, you can go to a University of Phoenix and never step into a classroom.
Correct.
Stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Chris Johnson, thanks so much for stopping in.
I'll give you one prediction. So
one prediction?
The prediction that I have, and we'll see what happens. You guys can look on OSWA.org probably tomorrow or the next day for an update. But the model I think we're going to adopt is the Nevada model. So Nevada came up at first. Basically what that would mean is we would do winter sports in January, February-ish. The dates aren't set. And then we would follow with fall sports. And then go to spring sports. So obviously the wintertime, I mean, it's not the greatest time to be outside, but January and February are generally a little nastier than February and March. So I don't know if that's going to happen for sure, but the committee that I was on.
So you're talking basketball?
Basketball.
January, February?
Well, yeah, basketball, wrestling, the winter sports.
Volleyball?
Nope.
Because volleyball's
a fall. Volleyball would be in the fall. So it would be basketball, wrestling, cheer, and then it would be football, cross country, soccer, volleyball, cheer, and then the traditional spring sports would be at the end. And one of the things I was hoping for is an extension of the calendar year. Normally, the last sporting event is around like the first week of June. It would be great if they would extend that for a lot of people, I think, just to have some more time. And if you give an extra couple of weeks at the end, then every sport could have a little bit more time. Because, again, right now they're talking about a six-week competition phase with maybe a two-week overlap between sports, which is problematic too because we have so many kids that are doing multiple things. But that's what I think will happen. I think that it's a fair plan. And if it doesn't happen or if it does happen, there'll be time for people to have public comment and have opinions on what the executive board should do next. But again, like everybody else, they're looking at numbers and trying to predict what might happen and just do the best thing to serve as many kids as we can.
All right. Well, we'll take a look and wait and see what they say.
All right.
Chris Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We got one more segment for you. It's an update on this conversation we had with Chris Johnson with Coach Sam Johnson from Siuslaw High School.